Thanks so much for joining us today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, and we're starting the show today by talking about Wisconsin State Parks and Trails. And with us, Michael McFadzen, current president of the Friends of the Kettle Moraine State Forest, past policy chairman for the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks, and for 20 years, a member of the State Trails Council. It's great to have him with us. You know, in 2017, if I'm not mistaken, Wisconsin spent less on state parks per visitor than nearly any other state, or maybe any other state. It's according to the Wisconsin Policy Forum and the National Association of State Parks Director. And Michael says now it could cost as much as $1 billion to fix all the infrastructure problems that exist. So we're going to take a look at our state parks today. And as we do, I hope you'll join in. What's your experience been like at our state parks? Good, I hope. Have there been issues? What should we be doing to conserve those state's natural areas for future generations? Give us a call. Number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Michael McFadzen, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Larry, I've been a fan of your show and WPR.
Well, it's great to have you along today to talk about our parks. You know, we should just set the stage and maybe talk a bit in general about our state parks. How many do we have? It's somewhere around 50, isn't it?
Well, you know, we really have, Wisconsin has a wealth of public lands and waters. There's, at last count, I think it's 66 state parks, 44 state trails, 10 state forests. There's several recreation areas. There's 15,000 lakes, tons of rivers and stream. And in the state of Wisconsin, about 6.6 million acres, or 17% of Wisconsin's land, is open to the public, according to SCORP, the Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan. And these parks, you know, are the gems of our state, and probably some of the most diverse and scenic landscapes in the Midwest. And I just would like to mention a few, and hopefully some of your listeners have been there. Willow River in the Northwest is incredible. Copper Falls has those huge gorges and waterfalls. Wyalusing, you know, lies at the confluence of the Wisconsin and Mississippi rivers. And we have all the Lake Michigan parks, you know, Kohler Andre, Point Beach, Harrington, and perhaps the best urban park in the Midwest, Lakeshore State Park in downtown Milwaukee. So, you know, we're truly blessed to, you know, to have these kind of resources.
We are indeed. And I was thinking, as you were ticking off those parks, I visited every one of them. And I have never been disappointed. How many people visit our state parks every year? It's a lot.
Yeah, and that's a great problem to have. Right now, it looks like there's more than 20 million visitors a year. But, you know, this declining infrastructure and deferred maintenance, you know, creating a state land system that many of us think is at the breaking point. Mm-hmm. There's an estimated deferred maintenance and project cost totaling almost $1 billion. Wisconsin is underfunding our state parks infrastructure, operations, and staff. In comparison, and, you know, want to look at our neighbors, Minnesota and Michigan leverage almost three times the funding into their state land system. And so now there's approximately 6,000 projects that parks need to have remedied. Now, these include decaying roads, bridges, building, dams, you know, water infrastructure, septic systems that are failing. And this isn't fluff. These are health and safety items. And that number, that $1 billion, doesn't include trail repairs. And there's hundreds, you know, possibly 1,000 miles of trails the DNR can no longer maintain. And, you know, and the problem's further complicated because parks have fewer permanent and limited-term employees to fix these things. And this cost does not include new construction, which would be valuable, like visitor centers or contact stations.
So there's a lot that's going on. And I want to say, you know, you said 20 million people. So that would be, how many people do we have in the state? About 5 million?
Yeah, 5 or 6 million, correct.
And 20 million visits. So, and you know what? Even if you don't visit the state parks, I just as an aside here, I think you still benefit even if you don't visit.
Yeah, people come to our to all of our state lands. The, you know, the trails and the recreation areas and the forests. You know, it's a way to get. It's positive for our mental well-being, for our physical well-being, and it brings tourism into the state. There's a huge economic benefit.
Yeah, and I think, if you look at things like flood control, clean air, clean water, I mean, all of that you get in our state park system. So I think that's pretty important. Mary Kay in Kenosha has a question or a comment.
Hi, I would like to see a statewide lottery, just the state, not all over the United States. And that portion of the lottery money would go into parks.
Mary Kay, thanks for calling. Well, Michael, we're going to get into funding, but what do you think about funding as that as a potential source of income?
That's a great idea. Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Michigan park systems, they're similar size and properties. Minnesota parks are, you know, better staffed. They have more programs. And they get money. They get $6 million a year from their lottery revenue. But they also get $18 million from their Legacy Park and Trail Fund, and approximately $24 million from the state's general fund. $1 million from user fees. So they fund their parks to the tune of about $70 million. Now, Michigan State Parks, and I want to compare a couple of these, and then we're going to go to Wisconsin. They also have several revenue streams. They have a $500 million endowment fund. They get oil and gas tax revenues, user fees, a recreational passport. And in 2022, they funded their parks at over $80 million. And the latest data I've seen pegs their park funding for fiscal 2024 at over 90. So again, we're looking a little over 70 million for Minnesota, 90 million perhaps for Michigan. Wisconsin funds its park operations at approximately $19 to $20 million annually, which equates to about $3 a visitor, which is less than any other state in Texas. You know, we spend relatively little on parks and recreation compared to other states. On the percent of state budget that goes into parks, Wisconsin was ranked 48th. And I just saw a report from the National Association of State Parks Director that cites that Wisconsin spent the lowest amount of parks nationwide at about $1 per visit compared to $3 nationally. So we're kind of at the bottom and starting to show. And one of the reasons, you know, we're one of the only park systems in the country that funds its operations almost solely from user fees. And that, you know, this transition to a self-funding model kind of views parks as a commodity, you know, and ignores planning and upkeep. And, you know, the self-funded user fee model, you know, it doesn't work. And it's starting to affect us, but it's really going to harm, you know, the next generation of park users.
So, you know, I'm thinking about the number of people who have visited. At the same time, I think that we've lost around 40 full-time positions over the last 15 or so years. And yet the number of people visiting has doubled.
Right. Due to legislative mandates, parks lost, that's a good point, they lost 40 full-time equivalents in the last 15 years with visitation doubling. You know, and this includes cutting key positions, you know, like naturalists and educators. And the reason this is really important, Wisconsin has had this lifetime ethic of natural resources. And, you know, the first place that a lot of youth or families, you know, connecting to natural resources are at parks, you know, and that can create a lifetime ethic. And we cut some of these key staff. You know, what happens? You go to a park, you know, it looks nice. I mean, they're the gems of our state, but we really need to maintain some of this property. And it's not just all about having, you know, beautiful bathrooms. It's about this natural resource ethic, which we want to continue to maintain.
Yeah. Michael McFadden, our guest today, president of the Friends of the Kettle Moraine State Forest, talking with him about our state forest, our state parks, and inviting your thoughts and comments on all of this. What's your impression of our state parks? What should we be doing to improve them? Or are you happy with how they are already? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Taking a look at our state parks today, our Wisconsin state parks, with our guest Michael McFadden, president of the Friends of the Kettle Moraine State Forest, a member of the State Trails Council for 20 years he was, and representing cross-country skiing in that part of that state trails system. One of the many things you can do in our state parks is cross-country ski, for sure. Questions, again, the number is 800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. Let's take a call from Patrick in Madison. Hi, Patrick.
Do in our state parks is cross-country ski, for sure. Questions, again, the number is 800-642-1234.
Patrick, are you there? Patrick left his radio up instead of just listening to on the phone, and so that's why. Patrick, turn your phone, your radio down. We'll try. Maybe we can try later with Patrick. Again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. Kelly in Portage County called to say they visit state parks every day and wants to know how to volunteer to help maintain trails.
That is a great, a great example of what we need to do. You know, there are key organizations that are making a difference in this bleak funding environment. Friends of Wisconsin State Parks is called FWSP. It's an umbrella group for the 80 plus friends group. And might be, you know, these are the only organizations that espouse advocacy and do a lot of volunteerism on state lands. And FWSP, you know, and the friends group have stepped up big time. You know, these friends groups, they're tied to a particular trail. You know, there's the Friends of Devil's Lake or the Friends of Peninsula. And these groups have played a critical role in fundraising, helping pay for program, the volunteer stuff, which your listener asked about. And these groups have leveraged over $100 million in projects and tens of thousands of volunteer hours, you know, which the state can't provide. So, you know, they fund education-related activities, trail work, hiring naturalists. You know, they're really doing some heavy lifting here. And if you can really make a difference by joining one of these local friends groups or FWSP and make it happen locally. You know, friends groups do great things for parks. Another side of this is user partnerships. The DNR has had to rely on 501c3s. You know, they're critical to maintaining current offerings. Locally, I live near the Kettle Moraine State Forest, and there's a, I'm just going to cite one club. They're called the Kettle Moraine Nordic Ski Club. They've done a lot. They've built buildings. They've taken over trail grooming. They buy and maintain equipment for the Greenbush ski trails. They paid for and installed a lighted trail system, and they support a youth ski team. So organizations like this, there's two great avenues, Friends of Wisconsin State Parks and these partnerships.
Good points. Let's go to Tim in Madison. Your turn, Tim. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me on. This is a great topic. I really appreciate you guys talking about this today. I just wanted to comment quickly. I've traveled all over the United States to many different states, and it's funny that you brought up both Michigan and Minnesota as comparisons, because that was the big comparison I've noticed in the last 10 to 15 years. Just the upkeep of their parks and how much better they're doing than Wisconsin. I've been witnessing over the last 25 years a slow degradation of and starvation of the Wisconsin State Park system that is really starting to become apparent. And I think many people are starting to notice this. In addition to the degradation of the facilities, we're seeing a degradation in services where the people who are mistreating the parks, you can't even report them or do anything about it because there's not even staff to report them to. It's reported to the camp host. Well, nothing ever happens. And it's just a slow degradation of the facilities as they're being slowly abused. We need to find a better way to fund our park systems, and we need more staffing and people out there. And once again, I'd like to say thank you to all the people who are participating in the friends groups who are helping, but it's only a Band-Aid on the system. So I really appreciate you guys talking about this today.
Tim, thank you for calling. Comments, Michael?
Well, you know, I think eventually, you know, we do need to talk maybe a little bit about politics. You know, the Wisconsin legislature is majority Republican, you know, so they control, you know, the committees, the hearings, the bill. And, you know, there's kind of an emphasis on not funding, investing in state lands. And it just started back in 2011 with the gerrymandered voting maps, and which have become, you know, which we just had a Supreme Court remedy. But I just want to point out that there's individual Republican legislators that have been park champions. You know, natural resources is and should not be a partisan issue. One of the best is Senator Rob Coles from Green Bay. He's written and got passed key water infrastructure bills totaling over $15 million to repair necessary health upgrades in our system. And that made needed improvements at 36 properties. And other key legislators that I've worked with and other groups have is Representative Joel Kitchens from Door County, Ron Tussler in Central Wisconsin, and a Joint Finance Committee co-chair, Howard Markling. So there's certainly support on both sides of the aisle.
Vanessa in Plymouth, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, Vanessa.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
I'm just concerned about what seems to be clear-cutting in the Kettle Moraine Forest up by Plymouth, and you know, what kind of forest managing is that we leave just dumped behind? And then what is that money going for? Not upkeep of the state parks, it doesn't seem. So just kind of wondering what that plan is, and it's something most people don't see unless you're taking scenic drives in the Kettle Moraine or maybe during the Ice Age Trail.
Michael, you're pretty familiar with Kettle Moraine.
It's kind of funny. My wife is starting to call it the Kettle Moraine Unforest. and I, too, have witnessed this. That's another legislative mandate. In the past, they had two divisions of forests in our state. The southern forests, like the Kettle Moraine, those, and then the northern forests, like the Northern Highlands. The northern forests are kind of considered working forests, but the legislature has made requirements now on logging, and they're shifting the use from primarily being recreation forests to being recreation and management forests. So that's something that's happened over the past decade, and I share your concern.
So where does the money go from that? I mean, somebody's making money on that. Do you know?
You know, I really can't answer that question. I have a feeling that it goes in the state general fund, but it might go to DNR specifically, but I'm not sure.
Vanessa, thank you for calling. Alice in Madison, we'll go to you. Hi, Alice.
Hi. I was just calling. I grew up in Sparta, Wisconsin, and I was right by the railroad tracks. And I just was so pleased when we went rail to trail.
So you think the rails to trail system is great?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I used to put pennies on the rail, and when the train went over, we'd grab them when they were, you know. I just think that was one thing that we should be so proud of, because you can go all over now. I see, you know, the bikers, and it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful.
Well, thank you, Alice, for calling. Michael, a comment?
Elroy Sparta, I think it was the first rail to trail in the country, and I've been on it. It's an incredible natural resource. But I'd like to just spend a moment, you know, talking about, you know, how on the operational side, as far as staffing, you know, I want to credit, you know, these employees are working very hard. They, you know, State Park and Forest Staff, they come into natural resources for a reason. And, you know, they're dedicated individuals trying to make this underfunded system work. You know, state leaders are kind of out of touch with this troubled reality of, well, where our system is headed. You know, we have in Wisconsin and our state park system, they have a segregated park fund, which is monies that the parks and forests have saved through efficient operations, but the legislature controls it. So this is money that the parks have saved, and they can't access it to invest in property or wages. You know, it's a challenging era.
Kathy emailed to say she and her husband recently drove from Madison to Governor Dodge State Park in Dodgeville. She said they found the bathrooms in sad shape, leaky faucets, and wet floors. Kathy's husband uses a power chair and facilities for people with disabilities seems to be pretty limited. Comment on that?
You know, I know they're trying to expand the limited access options, but, you know, I don't know how robust it is. I'm familiar with some parks, and I know we've just, our friends group, just funded and had installed an accessible related kayak launch, and that's at Mothy Lake in the Kettle Moraine. So I know some properties have made some progress on this.
Mary in La Crosse emailed to ask, and you did touch on this, but bears repeating. Mary says, weren't the state parks previously funded in the budget? When did this change, and why?
So what happened was probably, I think it was about 2015, we had equal support from GPR and fees. And then that was before 2015. And then the legislature passed and Governor Walker signed into law, that was 2015 or 2016, that cut all tax support for parks. So again, this is one of the only parks systems in the country that has cut this support. So we became self-funded by user fees, and that's why, you know, it's you know, we're $19 million per year, and I think we should talk about, you know, some of our options. You know, I've been a little more doom and gloom, but we've got some good options to get the system on track, which again 20 years ago was one of the best park systems in the country. And you know, we really need to restore some of the GPR, you know, resume some tax resources. And, you know, almost every other state in the country has that. And you have to question how we veered off that path. You know, so restoring some GPR tax contribution, most people support. But then besides restoring GPR, a lot of people believe that we need to adopt the Michigan passport model. So right now you use a sticker to get into a park. So what this passport model is, it occurs concurrently with your annual driver's license renewal. When your license is renewed, there'd be a box to check to opt in. You'd pay an additional fee for the passport. So approximately 40% of Michiganders opted in in 2023. And that Michigan raised on that alone, they raised $37 million. And that's on that passport alone. While Wisconsin, we received only $19 million from our park sticker and user fees combined. And recently, Governor Whitmer proposed automatic enrollment. So when you renew your driver's license, you would automatically be enrolled for Michigan state lands. You know, Minnesota, they passed a constitutional amendment that dedicates a portion of sales tax to outdoor recreation, and they've supplied over $350 million. And that was established through a constitutional amendment. And most taxpayers applaud this funding and would vote to provide additional monies.
Michael McFadden, our guest today, as we talk about our state parks, and you can join in too. Numbers 800-642-1234. Love to hear your impressions. You can email us to talk@wpr.org as well. Keith and Egan, Minnesota, they say emailed to say they moved to Minnesota for family issues after living in Wisconsin for a long, long time. And the Minnesota state parks, he says, are spectacular. And for comparison purposes, he suggests go to both sides of the interstate park, interstate stay park, to see the difference. There is not much comparison. Would you agree with that, Michael?
You know, I've not been on the Minnesota side, but this is kind of a symptom, you know, of the whole park system. You know, I live in the Kettle Moraine State Forest, and in the Kettle Moraine alone, they have 500 requested projects. You know, most of the infrastructure in the Kettles was built in the 1970s, you know, the buildings, the bathroom. So it's over 50 years old, and even older. The forest headquarters and other structures were built by the WCC in the 1940s. So, you know, we have a lot of, just one example, the Long Lake campground septic system is failing. Numerous pumps costing $30,000 each have failed. Sewer lines are cracked with you know, rainwater infiltrating the system. In one electrical repair episode for a water pump, a new solenoid, so they're trying to retrofit this into a water pump that's 50 years old. A new solenoid took out several adjacent elements due to non-compatibility issues. So, you know, once the needed part is found, it often can't be used because the amperage or voltage is different. There's, you know, 90 buildings in the Kettle Moraine. 80% of these are bathrooms. All need upgrade or repairs. So this is a long time coming. I mean, this funding was cut in about 2015. And, you know, we have potentially a new legislative body coming in the next election. And we're trying, there's many of us who are trying to put these issues at the forefront. And a lot of this isn't just having, you know, pristine bathrooms. It's this, we need to connect people with natural resources. We have this, you know, often, as I've mentioned, you know, the first time you're exposed is at a state park, and you have a naturalist who does a program. They tell you where to hike, you know, and this builds this natural resource ethic, of which Wisconsin is famous for. And as your caller pointed out, it's not just there; it's throughout the system.
Another question from an emailer. If user fees are the primary source of funding for state parks, what does that mean for smaller state parks further from population centers? If those parks get fewer visitors, does that mean they don't receive much, if any, revenue for operations?
You know, I'm not privy to individual properties, but that caller makes a good point. The larger parks, I think there's four state properties. I think it's the Kettle Moraine Peninsula, Devil's Lake. I believe there's one more, get about 25% of all the visitors in the state. So they probably get a little better funding. But yeah, it's as that earlier caller mentioned, it appears they're starving our state park system.
Georgia in Madison will give you a chance to join in. Hi, Georgia.
Oh, got to mute my, hello?
Hi there. What's on your mind?
Hi, you can hear me?
Yes.
Oh, what's on my mind is just talking to Joel, who used to edit Silent Sports Magazine. Your guest has a regular article on all the issues that are important in Wisconsin for people who are interested in being outdoors and skiing and biking and canoeing and all those things. So I just want to put in a plug for that little magazine and also to read Mr. McFadden's articles.
All right. Silent Sports. Comment, Mike?
Yeah, thank you so much. I write the silent alarm column for the magazine, and the magazine and website covers the whole Midwest sports scene. We do concentrate more on Wisconsin, but it includes the hiking, biking, paddle sports, cross country skiing, destination articles, and the editor Bruce Steinberg has done a great job of placing this magazine at the forefront of these sports. Now, my column deals, with these political realities of what's happening, the causes for concern. Some of the articles that I've been involved with or written have been on PFAS, wakeboarding, the Wisconsin Wolf Plan. There's proposed mines at Porcupine Mountains and Boundary Waters, state land funding, and we highlight organizations that make it happen. And so this has really allowed me to track what's happening on our state lands and get an understanding of where it's headed. So thank you for the magazine plug, and I'm sure my editor will appreciate that.
Okay, Georgia, thank you. Rick in Ozaukee County will take your call. Thank you for being with us.
Hi, thank you for the subject. And I just want to make a comment on any time that we have a mandatory tax or a tax that everyone has opted in when registering a vehicle. I don't agree with that. I think that's a little bit on the deceiving side when you're registering your vehicle. So just a comment about that. And then also, I really enjoy the park system here in Wisconsin. But I got to say, when I go out west and instead of paying exorbitant fees to go inside a park there like Yellowstone and Yosemite, just to go across the road, state lands in Wyoming, you're free to travel all over the place, and there are campgrounds all over the place. And I really like that model. The access for the ordinary person is it's less expensive and more you're out there in nature rather than on a paved road. But what would that look like in Wisconsin if we went from a park to a forest? What would that look like? That's a question for Mike. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Michael?
Well, we have parks and forests, but the western part of the country has much more public land than Wisconsin does. And a lot of it is open. There's not, depending upon the property, if it's a state park, they have facilities. A lot of the open lands or forests or BLM lands do not. I also want to get at, I think the caller made a good point about, the fees. If we look at that Michigan passport system, you have the choice of determining whether you pay that extra 12 or 14 bucks. So you can say, I'm not going to pay that, and then you won't have that park access on your driver's license. And one thing I think we have to keep in mind is how big outdoor recreation is in Wisconsin. So according to the Wisconsin Policy Forum, which you mentioned earlier, Larry, outdoor recreation added $8.7 billion to Wisconsin's economy in 2022, supported 89,000 jobs, and recreation industry alone accounted for 2.4% of our gross domestic product, which ranked Wisconsin 16th among the country states. So recreation and parks are huge in Wisconsin. And a study by a study on the Wisconsin park system found out that the overall economic impact on just the parks is $1 billion a year, providing 8,200 jobs and $350 million in income. So, I mean, we got to keep in mind that our parks and lands are an economic driver, with many locales depending upon them for tourism. So and I think, you know, sometimes our state leaders need to be reminded what they bring to our state.
Rick, thank you again for calling. Appreciate it. And Steve in Minneapolis, your turn. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Sure. Mr. McFadden, I read your article in the Silent Sports, but, you know, states fund different things based on the values that the people hold in the state. And, you know, it's education, it's transportation, it's all those things in parks. In Minnesota, the people went to the ballot box and voted for this because it was a value that we have. Maybe the people in Wisconsin don't value the same thing. I'd like your comment on that.
Steve, thank you. What do you think, Michael?
Oh, that's an excellent observation. You know, I think it just points out that the people value it. You could tell by the callers, you can tell, but the legislature isn't quite, you know, tuned into that. And, you know, again, in Minnesota, they have that big land and legacy fund. And as everyone has pointed out, their facilities are so much better. You know, Wisconsin, we continue to visit our parks, but, you know, we're not funding them right now. So, you know, the question is, what is going to happen, you know, in the short term and long term?
Steve, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Eric and Tomahawk, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Larry, your guest is spot on. That Joint Finance Committee tries to stop state projects as well as privately owned conservation projects like the recently accomplished Pelican River Forest in Oneida County, which just hosted 80 mycologists from the Wisconsin Mycological Society that came up there and found 282 varieties of mushrooms. It infused $50,000 into the local economy over the last 4 days. And we better watch out for this because they were so, the politicians up north were so angry that that private landowner wanted to put their land in an easement. They brought the American Stewards of Liberty up from Texas, and they are infiltrating our county comprehensive planning to wipe out even more conservation efforts. They're also a drafter on the Project 2025 that's appearing as a campaign thing. So, Larry, great guest. Michael, thank you so much.
Michael, a comment from you.
Thanks. You know, just... you're reiterating, you know, this huge issue. And I want to give you an example on the operational side, what happens in our state budget. You know, last year, parks utilities, and this is, you know, the electricity, the gas, the water, you know, these are the bills that we all have to pay. And for 44 parks in these state lands, it ended up being $1.3 million. So, but in the budget, in the state budget cycle, the JFC, as you mentioned, parks got $300,000. So they know that their bills for utilities is 1.3. That's a loss of $1 million just getting out of the box. So they have to make that up somewhere.
Our guest today, Michael McFadden, we're talking with him about our state parks. He is president of the Friends of the Kettle Moraine State Forest. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Coming up at noon today, we'll talk about new innovations in upcycling plastic, and we'll also talk about the use of hydrogen as an alternative fuel and some other things as well with our guest. Right now, we're taking a look at our state parks with Michael McFadden, who is president of the Friends of the Kettle Moraine State Forest, and Jason and Cudahy up with a comment. Let's go there. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
So, you know, I do, me and my wife, we do a lot of traveling outside of the Milwaukee area to go up to parks out to Kettle Moraine or Lapham Peak, you know, and just all over the state. And I just never understood why, you know, so many Republicans are against funding the state parks when there's so many Republicans that represent those, you know, their districts and areas are a lot of areas where, you know, you go to find these state parks and whatnot. I just, you know, I guess I just never understood why, you know, you'd think that they would want to fund the parks to bring in more tourists, not just from, like, you know, people like me and my wife, you know, in Milwaukee, but also, you know, out of state. You get so many people from, you know, the Illinois area going up north to Door County and everything. And so I just want to make that comment. I just never understood why they're so against it.
Jason, thank you for calling. Michael?
You know, natural resources should not be a partisan issue. And I think what happens is that, you know, the one of the goals in the current legislature is to build the surplus. And, you know, and I don't know the exact amount. I think it's between $4 and $6 billion, maybe more. And that's money that, you know, potentially invested, you know, could really help us maintain employees better. And these employees are great. You know, the salaried staffers in state parks are working well over, you know, their hours. I wish I could give you an exact answer, but I really can't.
Peter in Dane County, we'll go to you. Peter, hello.
Hi. I just said I agree with all the funding issues and everything that have been brought up, but one point I did want to raise a comment quite earlier talking about parks out west and how it's, you know, free to go through. I just think it should be noted that it always is and has been free to drive to access any state park. You know, it's really the fee is just to park your vehicle. So it's always free to walk, enter on foot, and you can actually drive through every park for free as well. Not that that helps with the funding, but it's just something that, you know, I think people should know.
Yeah, it's a good point, Peter. Michael, comment?
Right. Yeah, a lot of the state lands use in Wisconsin is free. And then, you know, the 44 parks of state trails, you're required to have a state trail pass if you park, or if you use or a state park sticker. And then if you use the state trails, not the park trails, typically, you need to also have a trail pass.
Peter, thank you. Duke in Viroqua, your turn. Hi, Duke.
Hi. I have had some opportunity to work with some of the funding issues and over the last 20 or 25 years. And I think our legislators have not been that interested in funding either the park system or the conservation account. We haven't had a license fee increase for residents for 19 years or something like that. And those things are a lot of management things are languishing as a result of it. But when you start to talk about state constitutional amendments that offer support for natural resources, the two that spring to mind are Missouri and Minnesota as models of that. But they have a tool in those states that we don't have, and that's the citizen initiative, which allows citizens to gather petitions, signatures, to get an item on the ballot. In Wisconsin, the only way to get a constitutional amendment on the ballot is to have the legislature pass in two successive sessions a resolution to put that on the ballot. And we haven't had legislators who were willing to do that and support natural resources. So perhaps a future legislature in its wisdom will take another view of that. But for now, that's one of the reforms enacted by the progressives down around 1900, 1910, that a lot of prairie populist states adopted, and we didn't.
So, yeah. Duke, thank you very much for calling. Some good information there. Comment, Michael?
Yeah, I want to point out that, as Duke said, you know, Wisconsin people use their state lands for recreation, respite, solitude. You know, they're a critical part of who we are. And families, many families can't afford alternative recreation. And I guess the message I'd like to, you know, leave your listeners with again, it's not all about pristine bathrooms and buildings. It's more about connecting families and youth with natural resources. For many people, the first exposure, you know, to natural resources is through a park with a park naturalist. So if we're serious about developing an outdoor ethic, it often happens at a park. So, I mean, if this stuff's important to you, have a discussion with your legislator. Tell them how it affects your community, the economy, recreation. State lands need some general purpose revenue, taxpayer support. And we need to adopt, many of us believe, a passport system like Michigan. Now, I recently met with 8th Senate District candidate Jody Habersinikin, and she's going to include this in her platform. And so I'm hopeful that other legislators will. You know, Wisconsin must explore alternative funding models, you know, prioritize some type of infrastructure investment, you know, really recognize, you know, the vital role these state lands play for our economy and quality of life. And only then can we ensure that, you know, our kids and their kids can enjoy these natural gems. And it would only require, you know, relatively simple move by the Wisconsin legislature, you know, to turn this this ship around.
Yeah. So what do you think it would take to get that passport system installed in Wisconsin?
Well, I know that there's a number of legislators that are looking at it, including one of the ones I mentioned, Rob Coles from Green Bay. I believe park management have studied it. They see the advantages of it. So, I mean, it's one of those things, you know, go to the ballot box, talk to your legislators, you know, what do they care about parks? What I saw some of the Friends groups doing is they were inviting the legislators to come to their property, show them around, and then it really connects. Now, these parks are right in their backyard, and maybe they haven't been there before. So that's something that the Friends groups have been doing, and citizens can do too.
Yeah, there's I think, a lot of effort will have to be put forth by citizens in order to get this done. And I like your idea of the organizations, the volunteer organizations, as a sort of a catalyst for getting this done, directly with legislators, but also with the population, the people who live in the particular areas where those Friends group exist.
Yeah, the Friends groups have been doing more and more out of necessity. These were things, you know, 20 years ago, 20, 25 years ago, Wisconsin park system was considered one of the best in the country. And they actually had competitions back then. And we're obviously headed, you know, in a different direction now. And the Friends groups have really stepped up. And, you know, I can't, if this is important to you, that's one of your next steps.
Well, Michael, it's been a pleasure talking with you today. I really appreciate the time that you took. And obviously, there was a lot of interest. We didn't get to all the calls, and I've got a whole bunch of emails that I didn't get to. We weren't able to get to either. But thank you, and maybe we can address this again with you down the road. Appreciate your time very much, Michael.
I'd be happy to do that, Larry. Thank you.
Michael McFadzen is president of the Friends of the Kettle Moraine State Forest. He's past policy chairman of the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks and a member of the State Trails Council for 20 years, representing cross-country skiing. Great to have him with us. And we can take this issue up again down the road for sure. Coming up, we're going to take a look at some cool new research on dealing with plastics, and we'll also take a look at some other things, too, like hydrogen fuel cars. There's about 16,000 of them in the state of California. We'll learn more about that next. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.